TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios right here just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, all of our guests on Rocket Headers Hotline tonight. We can take your questions on our Facebook fan page, also on our Twitter account, at TJ Slideways. We're also checking the email inbox, tj@tjslideways.com. And it's a big week. It's, you know, the fall's right here. Season's winding down. Four Crown Nationals this weekend, and just a couple weeks after that, we'll have the Sprintacular at Eldora Speedway, and that means it's time to bring back Roger Slack from Eldora Speedway, our good friend who's been a part of our website, you know, as a guest in various forms and fashions of interviews and stuff for almost the entire existence of it. And Roger, we were just talking about the season, and what an amazing year for Eldora Speedway, making history, and but now you get to close it up with a few big races.
Well, I appreciate you having me on tonight, and it really has been a great 60th season so far here. And you know, when we started planning things out, we definitely wanted to make it big and memorable. And you know, it's, as Humpy always used to tell me, you're never going to out Earl Earl. And so, you know, million-dollar races, all those things weren't going to do it, but we certainly got a lot of publicity and everything out of the NASCAR race, and then have just continued on with growing the Kings Royal. And I just watched the highlights of it again today, and then you know, the Dream and the World were just absolutely huge. So we can't wait for this weekend, and you know, it's the 32nd annual Four Crown. So you know, that's our one of our oldest events. It's going to be great.
And it's an event that kind of looks back. This is the division that kind of originally raised the national level a bit for Eldora, and then they decided to bring all three classes in, you know, about 33, 34 some odd years ago. And now this race has evolved. The World of Outlaws are involved with it. And if you're a sprint car fan or open wheel fan, you kind of get to see a little bit of everything there at Eldora for two nights. For me, it's perfect because it's the World of Outlaws on Friday, and then you get to see all three USAC Premier Divisions on Saturday.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, a few years ago there, you know, the event needed a bit of a boost, and so they went and played with some different formats and played with some, you know, divisions and moving stuff around. And then, you know, they came on with the World of Outlaws at, you know, leading up into the Friday night. And, you know, when you're going against high school football in this area, I mean, that is tough here. I mean, especially when you look at how strong St. Henry and Coldwater and Sonia, some of these little towns are, and how well they do in the state every year. And but adding the Outlaws on Friday night, and then, you know, just that really kicks things off. We get a ton of campers, and it's really boosted the Saturday night with the Silver Crown, the midgets, and the USAC sprints, you know, back where it needs to be.
And I've told people, there's so many fans that go, well, I don't really see non-wing cars, or they go to non-wing races all year and they don't go see a winged race. And I try to encourage them to take in both days. In fact, I've been working on some of my neighbors here in Wyoming that are big USAC fans to come see the Friday show, because, you know, it's a chance to go see something different maybe that you don't get to see all year on both sides of the fence. And you know, like I said, get to see the tight World of Outlaw point battle on Friday night too. I mean, there's only 10 races left, and Diane Schatz and Darren Pittman are, you know, basically side by side for the championship.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the World of Outlaws is definitely it definitely is such a traveling circus, and you know, you just really have to respect those guys and what they do and what they do all year long. But just to see the equipment and the machinery and the stuff that they, just the haulers alone, what they go up and down the road with, and what keeps those guys racing when they're on the road for so long. It's really impressive. And, you know, it's just a good reminder if you can take in all the weekend, you know, just how big and how far the sport has grown, since back when Ted Johnson, first organized the Outlaws, and it's great to see all the non-wing guys there in the pits, because they're usually there watching the show that night. So that's to me, and getting their perspective on things, and I don't think there's any braver guy than those that are in a midget or a non-wing sprint. But you know, when you see them really in awe of the speed that the Outlaws pull on Friday night, that's just shows the respect that each driver or the drivers from each aspect of the sport have for each other.
And if fans have never seen midgets at Eldora Speedway, I mean, it's basically like a hold your breath thrill show for 25 laps during that feature. I think some of the heat races and the feature action last year and the midget races alone were some of the best I saw anywhere all year.
The midgets every year are arguably one of the greatest races here, and it's you described it perfectly. You just hold your breath, and we got to get USAC and everybody back to figuring out what it's going to take to build the midget division back up, because it's struggling everywhere, it seems, except for the Philly or smaller tracks where they're not as we got to get USAC program back stronger than what it is, because we want to continue the four crown as it is, and to do that we got to have strong car counts, and every promoter's got to have a strong car count for their event, and like I say, part of the thrill of watching the midgets here is those engines are like hand grenades, because they're wound so tight and they're going so fast here. Those things have got so expensive that, when these guys blow them up, we're losing cars for a few weeks. And, we don't want to keep doing that and see the car counts in the mid-teens.
Roger Slack from Eldora Speedway joining us. And you guys, to help the field, you work together with USAC, you guys have boosted the Silver Crown purse. Do you think that's going to help the car count a bit this weekend for the Silver Crown division?
Yeah, USAC, I got to give them credit. That's something that they took on and did on their own, invested sponsorship money in doing so. They're fairly confident that we're going to have at least 18 of the big cars, and that's that's plenty, and that'll be the strongest starting field, I think, in quite a while. So, that's a traditional division. It's something that you love. They're just so fantastic to see. But we're not getting a lot of new ownership out there. We're not getting, drivers like to race them, but you got to have owners that they want to put them on the racetrack, and they don't just want to retire. They want to bring them out. So hopefully some of the efforts at USAC's went too, and really working hard at recruiting cars and everything can bring them in, because that's a big expensive show for any promoter to bring in the Silver Crown cars. So that's and talking with Tony about them, they're fairly expensive to operate, especially on the mile. So it's not just how we all may perceive them to be a bigger, heavier sprint car. But those 358 engines are practically cup engines anymore. And, they're expensive cars to tow around there with 75 gallons of fuel.
Yeah. Roger Slack joins us from Eldora Speedway. Would you call this year the most aggressive campaign you've done personally in your motorsports career?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Maybe some years at Charlotte that I had so much going on when we were creating the new division and trying to get our crash car program, which was going to we built 24 cars on our own, we were scripting the races and coming up with all the stuff and doing all the pre-registers and everything there. But as far as at one facility, the folks my passion, which is dirt racing, so it's definitely here. And you know, there's a lot of pressure in some of the changes that we did, a lot of construction this year. And yeah, I mean, it definitely ranks right up there. And, but we have such a great staff here too. We've been able to accomplish everything in a reasonably fine fashion and grow the World 100, grow the Dream again, you know, another classic as well. And then and the truck racing, that whether you NASCAR fan or not, it brought a bunch of publicity to dirt racing and helped dirt racers all over the world.
So we
were proud of that truck.
I was just going to say, that truck race, I think the way it was done from every aspect I could see from the outside looking in, just kind of looking overview and what you guys did leading into it, was just unbelievable. Just alone that you managed to get like a three-piece temporary building into the infield somehow. I don't even know how you get that thing down there. And watching it, but the way the television broadcast respected the history of the place and stuff, I think is a tribute to all the prep work and stuff that your staff did, because, I mean, it was just, I thought it was just a tremendous tool, middle of the week like that for dirt racing and motorsports in general.
Yeah, it really was. And that's, you know, we're all really lucky. People don't realize it behind the scenes that there are, you know, guys like Mark Smith at Speed Channel and NASCAR Media, who used to do the TV for Glenn Donnelly. And I mean, he grew up in Syracuse. So, I mean, grew up with dirt racing. His dad worked with Glenn Donnelly, and he, you know, ended up, you know, getting involved in the TV end when Glenn was putting Super Dirt Week on, you know, in the 1980s on ESPN. And you know, now Mark's one of the top producers for NASCAR television, and it really focuses on the trucks. And so we had a great ally in the fact that he's one of my great friends, but he's also a huge, huge dirt fan. And he really wanted to make sure that everything went right for dirt racing that night. And so it was great to be able to have somebody like that, you know, feel good about their broadcast as you know, what everybody else did. And again, I mean, you know, they have 35 cameras here covering the race. I mean, when you compare that to, you know, a typical televised dirt race when there's four or five cameras, I mean, it was just unbelievable. And, you know, if it never even happens again, it'll always be a great memory. You know, just a great piece of another neat piece of Eldora's history.
And that's something else I want to bring up. There's kind of in the motorsports world, we've seen Eldora do it a couple times with the $1 million late mile race and the $1 million sprint car race. For overall motorsports aspect, you see some people maybe trying to do some one-off events there once a year, but do you think there's some merit to the one-time event that you're never going to see it again and then actually never do it again?
Well, that's a great question, because say with the millions, you know, it was such a huge risk for Earl and Bernice, and they, I think they came out on it okay, but they realized that, you know, we're not going to do this again. And then I think that the sprint $1 million purse events, I was here at one of them, and that was a struggle to get right at break even. And ultimately, as a promoter, you want to be able to come up with something that nobody else has or nobody else can copy, and make it your own and do it and have some longevity to it. And you know, that's sort of what the NASCAR truck event is for us. I mean, there's not many other places that'll ever get a chance to do that, if any. So you know, we've already got the Kings Royal, which you can't replicate. You know, the World 100 is the biggest dirt race in the world. And, you know, now we've got, you know, this weekend coming up with, you know, something that nobody else has, with Outlaws Friday night, and then, you know, all three USAC divisions on Saturday night. So, yeah, that's sort of the goal, is to keep having the stuff that nobody else can have, I guess, to answer your question in a long way and circling around. That's we want to be the place that does stuff first, and we want to be the place that does stuff that nobody else can.
One thing you'll be proud of, I took my family out to the city to see 4th of July fireworks. I sat there, watched fireworks, and I went, that's it. I think you have officially ruined me for fireworks everywhere else on the planet. So, when you decided that, okay, we're going to do the pyro and we're going to do it huge, how did that all come about, and where did you come up with the pyro bombs that basically shake everything in that facility?
I'd never done them at Charlotte because I couldn't because of the fire marshal. And just the guys that we used at Charlotte were more fireworks. They weren't effects guys. When we did that first Casey Kane Presents race at Bulls Gap, that's when we decided to. That was real early in my tenure at World Racing Group. That's when we sort of said, we're not. We didn't do anything earth shattering at Volusia. Let's, if we're gonna try and up the entertainment value of events, let's really go for broke. And so we just played with some things for a year, and we cut back a little bit on it the second year, and then Tony had always liked the atmosphere of the All Star race, which has a lot of that at Charlotte, and we always joked that at some point when I ended up here that we would start doing that. And basically that's how that started. And we keep on working with the same guys and tweaking things and doing something different every event. And got some new stuff probably coming for next year. And just the fact that we got fireworks that go off and there's giant E's in the air is pretty cool now. So we got some other stuff that we're working on for next year.
I'm excited because I can't even imagine what more you could do, but I guess that's the mind of Roger Slack here at Eldora Speedway, working hard. Are you already starting to think into next year? I know you have to finish this season off, but when do you start really seriously thinking about 2014 when you're the general manager of a facility like that?
We already have. We had started talking about King's Royal date back in June, and we pretty much solidified where it's going to fall at the end of July there. We're in talks with NASCAR on what's going to happen there. Memorial Day and Labor Day events, they're easy because you know when they're going to happen. And then we've got in the Dream and in the World, they have their traditional dates. So, then it's sort of filling in from there. And Easter's late next year, so, trying to figure out, what we're going to do, if we're going to race Easter weekend or not. And we're going to evaluate and see how the Spectacular does this year, and is that the right weekend? Are we too far in a hunting season? That sort of thing. And there's so much that goes into that that you got to think about, because it affects not just the fans or the racers too. I mean, they get tired of racing. They want to go sit in a tree stand in the fall. And it's that sort of thing that, once we get a couple of those things figured out, then we'll be able to pump the schedule out pretty quick.
One of the big topics when I was out at Knoxville this year was the entertainment value in motorsports and entertaining fans and trying to get them to come to see the racing too. And you're in a unique position to where you have a strong local program. You also have all these different touring groups going, but I see you working hard in the entertainment area too, the family fun nights and everything. That's a part that a lot of promoters, it seems like to me, that are getting it right now are adding a lot of value to their programs. And what are some of the things you maybe did this year a little bit different that added a little more value to the Eldora program?
Well, the family fun night deal, that's something that Earl had started with fireworks and everything, and you know, that's that really has been great, because it brings a totally different crowd here that maybe they can't afford to come to any of the big races, but they want to go experience Eldora for a night. And you know, kids are free, and they're able to come, you know, see a two division program, see fireworks, and get out of here. And we're getting huge crowds for them, you know, for just $8 to get in. And we made a deal this year to bring Monster Jam in, and so we're not actually, you know, the sole promoter of the event, but we're a part of, you know, we're acting more as a venue, but they promote so aggressively, and they bring such a different crowd in, and brought people in that were coming here for the first time. So, you know, it's, you know, trying to be, I guess it's, you know, we're in ways that you can only do racing so much. We're trying to be a viable venue for motorsports entertainment. And, at the same time, get people back, and also trying to educate people on just, you know, what all is going on. And that's where we have a big benefit with that giant jumbo screen, where everybody can see what's going on with pit reports and different shots from around the track and interviews with the drivers and with the live scoring. It can give them opportunity to figure out who is where in the midst of lap traffic, which, as we all know, is an important element to some great dirt racing, is getting some lap traffic in there. So that's the sort of thing. And you know, I think that eventually the sport will grow to a point where if we can hook LEDs in to the transponders and so that, you know, you can call the fans' attention to the guys that are going forward with green LEDs on their cars and the ones that are falling back, or, you know, there's a color that signifies the leader and, you know, who's making up the most spots, something like that, that anything that we can do to make it easier for new fans to understand, that can only be bigger and better, and then they'll understand you know, why we need lap traffic and what's going on, and, you know, what a battle these guys are waging in between, you know, four other guys that are still racing for position.
Roger Slack joining us. How long did it take you to actually get to sleep after that truck race? Because I imagine you had to be pretty amped up. Even after that was all done, how long did it take you to wind down and actually get some shut-eye?
It was about 5 in the morning. That's, I'm a night owl anyways, and you know, we had a lot of stuff to clean up and get done, because we started moving stuff out right away the very next day with, you know, those trailers and you know, the media center. All that stuff had to come down and go out, and so, you know, we just started getting after it and getting it done, and you know, had a lot of great people come in and help from different parts of the country, and it was a long day, but it was definitely it was worthwhile, and it, you know, people don't realize it definitely had its elements of surprises. I mean, there at one time we had a helicopter flying in with a helicopter flying out with you know, a transport from the grandstands. We had the lights went out right before the or during driver introductions because a squirrel had ended up getting fried on one of the transponders down in Rossburg, and it just blipped the lights for a second, and so we had to switch everything over to generator power. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on that people didn't necessarily see on the TV broadcast.
That is crazy. It seems like every big race has stories like that fans may not see. That's a good one, though, Roger Slack, joining us here, and I just lost my mind on that squirrel right there. Next question. With the with the truck race, one of the things I saw, I was monitoring social media that night from home, and I was kind of looking, and the not only the positive feedback I saw, but the feedback I was seeing from first-time Eldora people doing things like taking pictures of the concession menu because they couldn't believe how affordable it was, and just different things. It was really remarkable to see the social onslaught. I mean, you guys ruled the social media world that night.
Yeah, it was absolutely giant. You know, there were 1.409 million households watching the original broadcast. It was the number one rated truck broadcast of the year. It was 10th of all time, and Daytona has 8 of those 10 just because of the time of year. And then there's a Talladega truck race that has good ratings. I think maybe the first Talladega race, but it has no truck race since has even got half the ratings. It was the number one. NASA has this $1 million facility that measures social media now. And by far, all the truck races, as far as social activity, beat every nationwide race. And at that point in the season, had beat 8 of the cup races as far as how socially engaged people were, either watching it or here on site. Yeah, remember here on site at Eldora, I mean, we have AT&T service here now, full bars and 4G and the LTE next year, but Sprint just brought a tower in for that event. And, so there was a little bit more activity here on site, but that's how engaged people were with their parties and everything that they were watching around the world, really. I mean, it was pretty cool to see soldiers and everybody just excited to be able to see the race on the Armed Forces Network.
And when you look back on that, you're a guy that's had you said your passion's dirt racing, but you've also had your foot in the NASCAR world. What did it mean to you personally to kind of bring those worlds together and pull that off?
I think it's, it feels the same way anybody gets when you meet a pretty girl and you like her and she doesn't like anything but racing. And, the true test is taking her to a dirt race early on and you figure out whether you're going to keep dating her or not. And if she ends up liking it, that's usually a bonus. And that was sort of the feeling for me. It was a great thing that we were able to do in history and to be a part of it and to know all the inner workings and everything that went on. And it's something I'll always be really proud of. And I think that it showed NASCAR, some things and, who knows what will happen in the future. So it was definitely, good to see some faces that early on in the week were a little leery of things, and some other people were so gung-ho, and then at the end of it, everybody was gung-ho.
Roger Slack joining us. One thing I wondered, and the one question I had after this is, after it's all done, everyone thinks it's fine and dandy and everything was wonderful, but who do you think ultimately is going to be the biggest beneficiary of it? Does Eldora Speedway, do you think, benefit the most from it, or did NASCAR, do you think, have the most to gain after that truck race?
I think dirt racing, I think in order, it was probably Eldora, dirt racing, and then NASCAR. And one thing that we all love our own forms of racing or our own disciplines of racing within dirt, but one thing we all have to remember is that a strong NASCAR and a strong IndyCar, especially the Indy 500 more so than IndyCar, that's good for because that all filters down. You know, remember back in the, you know, back before the, you know, economy stumbled there in 2008. You know, remember when sponsor dollars were filtering down to short tracks and, you know, some of the names that we saw on the side of the cars, and not just sprint cars, but late models and some ownership and, that sort of thing. So, I mean, the stronger that those top series are, you know, the better it is for everybody, because at the end of the day, you know, if we got good racing on Sunday afternoon with IndyCar and with NASCAR, there's still that opportunity to try and convince people to come out to their short track and their dirt track for the first time. And, you know, that was a Tuesday and Wednesday night. And I think about 8 hours of live broadcast. That was a commercial for dirt racing and Eldora. So, there hasn't been a dirt race that's ever got that kind of rating. So it was, when you look at a typical dirt race, you know, not even getting, you know, a tenth of the rating that we did, that was big. Because it showed the sport to a lot of people.
Roger Slack, always that's interesting. That gives me something to really think about. I think I'm going to go right to my keyboard after that, because I think you just triggered something for me. But, you know, it always seems like you're on the list of people that I always talk to. I always manage to learn something from every time we talk, so I appreciate that. Of course, Four Crown this weekend, if they go to EldoraSpeedway.com, they can still order their tickets online, I assume.
Definitely can, and we've got great seats for the remember camping's all free this weekend, and general admission camping, and then they have plenty of great seats available for both shows. So we got lots of room for everybody. Bring your lawn chair if you want to sit on the lawn or sit in the terrace, and just come be comfortable and. The big events, big crowds, but it's not going to be uncomfortable and stuffy if you don't like crowds. So come and have a good time and enjoy open wheel sprint car racing at its best.
One thing I want to point out too, if you've always wanted to go to Eldora, this is a good first experience for you, because maybe if you go to a Kings Royal or World 100, it's a little harder to move around, and you can't try necessarily all the seats in the place. You could probably try out each section, see where you want to sit for one of the bigger races. I've always told people, go to either one of the spring races or one of the fall races for your first visit, because you can kind of get a feel for the place and have, you know, I don't want to say you have run of the place, but you can kind of meander the place a little bit and figure out your angles and stuff, and then you can come back to a big race and you know what you're in for.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we definitely have our share of fun, but it's not quite the party atmosphere that you have at some of those other events. So it's, definitely. And if you can make a weekend of it, that makes it even better, that you can see the wing cars on Friday and modified. And then you get a chance to see, you know, all three USAC divisions, and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, remember, 2 years ago, even this late in the week, none of us even knew that Kyle Larson was going to run three divisions, and look what he did there 2 years ago. And so, you know, who knows? I think Christopher Bell is planning on running his wing car on Friday night. So, I mean, with the way that young man's running, we may see some more history again this weekend.
I agree, Roger. Can't wait to see you again, and congratulations on everything this year. You've done an amazing job over there, and we've both come a long ways. This is pretty awesome that we get to talk about this.
It is something else, and we just have such a great staff here. You know, Larry Bowes, Chad Schmidtmeyer, Jonathan Bateman, Tess Waits, and Todd Stuckey, and Teresa, and everybody here. You know, they work their guts out. They love this place, and you know, two of them are Baltus, And, you know, when we all got Earl and Bernice right over outside of turn two to keep us straight. So there's no better place to be, and a great community that loves racing. So if you want to come see a great show, come this weekend or come to the UMP Nationals in a couple weeks.
Exactly, and three big nights there, and so and modifieds have a big show. So I mean, everyone's been clamoring for a big modified show. You got there at Eldora. Roger, thank you for all the time and everything you've done for us over the years. And man, I look forward to doing this for years to come. It's gonna be awesome.
All right, well, thank you, and we appreciate everything that you do to help us.
All right, thank you, Roger. Roger Slack joining us from the Eldora Speedway. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to break down the Canadian Nationals with Tommy Gooch. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out, foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oschwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Core Pack Sprint Car Series, Thunder Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OschweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. And we go from one Canadian to another. My friend Tommy Gooch joining us to talk about this past week at the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. And Tommy, I unfortunately couldn't make it because I had a wedding to go to, but number 9 is under our belts, and Shane Stewart once again captured the crown. How did everything go over there at Ashwegan last weekend?
It went well. You know, I kind of look at it as every year we plan to have on-track driver introductions. Every year in the 9 years, it's always been on the schedule. This year, we actually did it. So that's a sign that we were actually kind of on schedule and ready to race pretty early in the night.
And that's a great sign of things. And another great Canadian Nationals, great car count, a few different visitors this time. You had Brad Loyette and such. But, I mean, up front again, it was the two guys that we've seen over the past few years in Shane Stewart and Steve Poirier.
Yeah, I think if there were Vegas odds set on this race, you'd put them as the two favorites, and now they're both three-time winners, so it was kind of fitting that they were on the front row. And it was kind of an interesting top six starters behind them, though, with three guys who'd been there before and three guys who really hadn't been.
And that's not an easy place to get a hold of. We've seen a lot of first-timers struggle there at times because it's so different. But this time, the first-timers did really well.
Yeah, they did. And Brad Loyette and Brooke Tatnall were two that I was really keeping an eye on. And Tatnall, especially on the Friday night, really kind of struggled at first and looked pretty ordinary. But by feature time on Saturday, he was one of the better cars on the track. Ended up falling back at the end to seventh, but he was up in the top five at one point, and I really thought for a few minutes that he might have had a shot at getting up into the top one or two.
And one guy that always sneaks up in there, if Jason Barney could ever start in the first three rows of this thing, he might win it one of these days.
Yeah, he had that look exactly like he had in June when he won from 18th in the Patriots Sprint Tour Challenge race that we had at this weekend. He had that bottom line going, and as the track started to wear out, he really started to come to the front. The first few laps of the feature were pretty hammered down, actually. Shane Stewart, before he got into traffic, was under 14 seconds briefly, so the track was in better condition, but the track was in different condition than it has been the last few years, and it was definitely faster in the first few laps. The moisture really came up through the track during the driver introductions and after we had our stock car feature.
And, of course, one of the unfortunately, the heartbreaking stories of the weekend was for Mikey Krutschko, one of your locals, who has had a great run going. Unfortunately, got tangled up with Wayne Johnson, kind of a nasty-looking accident down the front stretch.
Yeah, that was a really unfortunate deal. And it actually started with Poirier, who was running second at the time, kind of got up the track a little bit coming out of turn four. And Dylan Swiernik, who was running third, kind of a surprise up in the top five, a regular ESS runner, and Swiernik got collected by Poirier, and then Johnson pretty much had nowhere to go, Wayne Johnson, and he broke something in the front end of his car when he ran into Swiernik, and then he kind of came down the track with basically no steering, and Crutch could just pile into him at full throttle, and it was a scary wreck. Krutschke caught the inside wall in turn one and really, really mangled the front end of his car. I haven't seen a sprint car bent like that in quite a while. And it was good to see both of them get out as quickly as they did. Mikey had two GoPro cameras on his car for that, and the audio is rated R, shall we say, but it was good. It was good that Mikey got out as quickly as he could.
Yeah, Mikey rated R on a camera. Imagine that. Anyway, Tommy Googe joining us, and another guy actually who is kind of I didn't make an official pick because I didn't want to jinx anyone, but I was kind of thinking Randy Hannigan might be able to pull this thing off. He's had various problems over the year in the preliminaries, but I thought if they could put it all together, but he did still score a solid top five finish.
Yeah, he did, and he was, you know, the announcers always make their picks pre-race, and Rich stole Shane Stewart from me because he picked before me, so I picked Hannigan against my better judgment a little bit, because if you look at the history of this race, only two drivers who've run fast time have also won the feature on the same night, so I really thought Hannigan had it going this time, but unfortunately he didn't win his heat, which is kind of the, if you don't win your heat, it's awfully tough to get up to the front from outside the top six. We haven't seen too many drivers who haven't won a heat. In fact, since 2006, pretty much all of the feature winners have won a heat race on the same night.
And Tommy Gooch joining us. One other name I see, and I don't know how to pronounce, is from Quebec. It would be Mr. Jan, I believe it is, but I don't know if I'm going to try the last name or not. Go ahead, Tommy.
Jan Bilodeau.
Bilodeau, okay. Bilodeau.
Yeah, he's actually a second-generation driver. His dad's a modified racer up in the Quebec area.
He's another fresh face we saw at the Nationals this year.
Yeah, in fact, I was told that it was his first sprint car race ever on Friday night. He came in the day early and had the test and tuned and had a bit of trouble that night, actually. Steve Fourier and Kevin Levies were helping him get the car going. And he really turned some heads on Saturday night. He was strong. He ran a good line. He wasn't one of those rookies that we see out there running three or four different lines in one corner. He was really up on the wheel, and he transferred out of his heat race.
That's amazing to come into a race like that and to transfer all your heat to the A main is almost unheard of, because when I go through looking through the A main right now, I'm looking through the people. These are all people that have done pretty well at the Nationals in the past.
Yeah, not only at the Nationals, but we counted before the feature started, there were 20 drivers in the 30 car field that had won features this year. And that didn't include Jessica Zemkin or Chuck Hebing as two who regularly go to victory lane but haven't won features this year. So it was really a talented feature field. And to see him in there, unfortunately, first lap, first corner, he got upside down in the feature. But he was a good story all night.
All right, Tommy Gooch joining us at Oswegan Speedway. So now we have 9 of these under our belt. It's hard to believe number 10 is going to take place next year. Is there any rumblings of anything special for the 10th anniversary edition of the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals?
I haven't heard a whole lot yet, but I'm suspecting we'll see something interesting. It gets bigger and better every year, and we had a good crowd on Saturday night. The weather was a little cool, but by national standards, it was actually pretty nice. It was almost up to like 70 degrees or so during the day, and the sun was out, wasn't too breezy, so I think that helped our crowd a little bit. And I think with our new management team having a year under their belt to kind of get things figured out and see how things work there, I think next year we'll have a good running start at it to really make a good Nationals weekend next year.
Yeah. It's just, I tell everyone in the States, I get asked about it a lot. I actually got asked quite a bit about it at Knoxville, of all places, about, well, what's the big deal about this? I try to tell everyone in the States, you've got to go see this place. I mean, it's on par with all of our best tracks and better than most of them. And it's just such an amazing place. I know you get to be there in and out every week, but, you know, you guys are really lucky to have that so close to you.
Yeah, I think that fact is lost on us from time to time, and it's good to get a reminder that we really do have it pretty good up there, because it's easy to get discouraged on a bad night when things don't go the way that we plan them to. But we really do have a nice facility. We have solid support in all of our divisions, not just the sprint cars, but we have pretty much the best car counts in the province in terms of our stock car divisions. Especially the Thunder stocks are up over 30 every week, and all of that is what makes a good show there each and every week. It's not just about the Nationals. We have good solid weekly Friday night action, and we have a good solid fan base now that some of them I think are casual race fans who maybe before coming to Oswegan probably hadn't been to a dirt track before, and there's. With due respect to the city of Brantford, there's not a whole lot of entertainment options around there. They have in the summertime, they have a intercounty baseball team, but there's not much in the way of other stuff going on. So we have kind of the luxury of drawing from that area, and then we've got a solid group of race fans who come from all over Southern Ontario as well.
And I've looked at that, and I kind of look at Oswegan from my travels, And I look at it as the same way as a Fremont or even where Eldora is located at, as far as like the similarity of the area. The one difference is you've got a couple of bigger cities to draw from that don't necessarily have some of the entertainment options. Like I've likened our example to Berlin up here, to where they've struggled with fan count a little bit because there's a lot more to do here than there was 15 years ago. But still, I think it stands out more as an entertainment option where it's located at.
Yeah, definitely. And Hamilton is not far away, and it's a big city. It's up over, I think it's close to 750,000 people now. And there has always been a good solid base of racers and race fans in the Hamilton area. We have lots of them who come and race in all of our divisions each week and come and sit in the stands as well. And so it's Hamilton, it's Brantford, which is almost 100,000 people. But it's kind of a small town in some ways because there's not a whole lot else going on really. So we get those fans, and then we get the Niagara Dirt fans as well, because they've grown up, like Merrittville Speedway has been in St. Catharines area for, almost 60 years now. So, we get some longtime dirt fans and racers from that area. And we get, in the London area where I'm from, there's a ton of open wheel fans around there from when the Super Modifieds used to run weekly back here in the 60s. So they, have sort of started making their almost a pilgrimage in some ways, each week as well. It's about an hour up the road, so not too far.
And how have the weekly, fan counts been this year? How did you guys do this year?
We did pretty well. Early on in the season, it was a little bit lower than I thought it would be, but, towards the middle and end of the season, when we had good weather, we had a couple not so nice weather nights, but when we had good weather, we had some good turnouts. A couple of our promotional nights that we did with various charities went really well as well, with the charities selling tickets to our races, and the stands were close to full on some of those nights.
Wow, that's a great thing to hear over there at Oswegan Speedway. And Tommy, I know you've had a busy year announcing there. Are you going to get up to any other races now that your announcing season's over at Oswegan?
Well, I'm talking with a group of people about maybe going to the World Finals this year just to hang out. My brother-in-law is a big dirt late model fan, so that's sort of one of those things where we both get to see what we want to see. And then Greg Kalnan, from my co-announcer at Oshweken, he grew up in the modified area up there in eastern Ontario, so he's talking about coming with us as well. So each of us gets to see the division that we really like and grew up watching. So that'll be kind of a unique thing. I've never been to the dirt track down in Charlotte, and I'd like to see how they put that show on. I'm interested in not just watching it, but watching it from a promotional point of view and just watching it as a fan as well. But I'm interested to see how it all comes together.
Well, Tommy, it's been a great season. It's hard to believe it's already winding down at this point, but man, it's just, you know, when you think about it, 2014 is really not that far away.
No, it's not. I was looking at a calendar, and I'm sure there'll be a little bit of a break now. We've got the luxury of finishing a little bit earlier than some of the tracks down there because of just the weather makes it impossible for us to race much longer into the fall here. So we got a little bit of a break, and then it'll be banquet time, and then it'll be full steam ahead trying to get ready for next season. And I know my brother and my dad are already talking about next year, because my brother's got his mini stock. He wants to get a little faster too. So
yeah, it's the way it always is. And pending a family nuptials or anything else, I plan on being there for number 10. So I hope someone kept my seat warm for me. That's all.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, there'll be room up there.
All right.
I've taken to hiding up in the tower where it's a little safer this year. And after seeing Mikey hit the wall on Saturday, right about where I used to stand, I think I made the right choice.
There you go. Well, Tommy, thanks for everything this year, and best of luck over the winter, and we'll talk to you next spring leading into the 2014 Oshwegan season.
Yeah, for sure. Looking forward to it.
All right, Tommy Goode joining us from Oschwegan Speedway, and it was just killing me Saturday night. I had to charge it 3 times. I'm up there just scrolling, trying to figure out what was going on. Well, I was in the middle of nowhere, but had a nice wedding. It was great, but I can't wait to get back to Oschwegan next year. That's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. We're going to just keep the show going through November, just a reminder, and into December. Season's going to wind down. We're going to try to line up some guests for future weeks here at the Four Crown and at the Sprintacular and stuff, and start getting our off-season champion shows and even a couple of roundtable shows together as the season winds down. But that's going to wind down for tonight. Make sure to look us up if you're going to the Four Crown this weekend. Myself and Bob will be there both nights. And then the plan for the rest of the season pretty much is I will be at the Fremont World of Outlaws show and the Berlin Sprints on Dirt show, which is going to be the focus of next week's show. So those are the next couple events coming up. Bob's also going to take in the show at Waynesfield on Sunday, and we're going to have we're going to also talk about that next Monday as well. So on behalf of everyone here at TJSlideways.com, racesontheweb.com, thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways.